on the bus. There were all these, you know, they were trying to get films of Bahrain people, costume people. It was all basically chambered. There was still a lot of what was going on there. Nazi costumes, crazy stuff. So they wanted footage of these crazy fanatics doing something crazy. So he sat down, this lady, I'm sure she was dressed in a Tyson manner, sat down specifically next to this guy with long hair. And let's see if I remember, this is very, very funny. You know, he didn't want to look at her, like, he didn't really look at her, he was just standing. So she got a little closer, didn't pay attention. She's just like, what did she say? She said some trick on to it really get on his nerves. She said something not appropriate. She said, I don't understand. Don't you know that I'm married? Do you think you should, that's how you should speak? Is that proper? What about my poor wife? What should you do to you? What do you mean? Well, this way, that way. He's talking this way, talking that way. You get to go through army. You know, going through army anyway. You're a bunch of slackers. And speak to him. He said, well, yeah, I wasn't army. I was in the tank corps. My wife was a sergeant and whatever. Why weren't we in the army? We were too in the army, just like you. What? Oh, you, it became like a whole conversation. Like, you know. So he said, nevertheless, he means, at one point, he just started to cry. He said, what did I do my poor wife? Like, we didn't want to have a good, pure family. What do you want from my life? So finally, she just, like, sort of sidled away or something. He said he saw this. He said, this was a good, that's the right response. That's the right response. He was saying, I did what you did. I was where you were. And I'm telling you, there's nothing there. Very, like, the whole conversation, that's what I remember of it. It's really interesting. He said, the rest of us know what to answer. At least the Baha'i, but they have the right answer. They've been there, done that. Nothing there, and no interest, not interested, thank you. And I'm not going to incite you. I'm going to yell at you. You invited for Shabbos. Oh, my. Interesting, I don't remember. So, yeah, everyone is different what to do and how to do it. Like, it's hard to know.
An old Dandelion Gen is different than a young Dandelion Gen.
I don't know, it depends on the person. You have to know yourself. I have to know myself. That's the truth. I have to know myself. I have to know what works for me and what doesn't. Like I said, the initial thought is not a problem. As long as you're able to think something else. That's all. So there are certain thoughts that work better. I found, the people I've talked to have found also that we try to learn here a little bit Dari, right? And then we learn based on Chassidus. So when you have that, your thoughts change, something changes in you, and it's less of a problem. You're going to be very sensitive. That's what we found. I don't know more to tell you. That I have found, for sure. And I had a friend who had serious problems, and he just started learning, and they just disappeared. So what happened?
He has thoughts of Torah.
It changes the person integrally inside, changes something. So then you have what to think about. This very powerful thought, but it's not. It becomes a different. It comes to a place where it's a different. It's not. We care. Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's what I can say. I don't know much. Anything else I can't say. Now it's gratified to say Weintraub also writes. He said when he had students who he taught these in Yonim too, said also something changed, integrally changed, that they were learning Gemara Shetosu, learning good, learning Basmata, didn't get there without learning these in Yonim. That's what he writes in his letters. Said, that's why I'm very into this limud, because this limud has a tremendous power to purify more than the other, assuming you're not taking it as, like, I don't know, some sort of the Gaiva trip, then it's no good. As long as you're not taking the Gaiva trip, you're just trying to learn. Connect to Hashem with it. It's wonderfully powerful. It's wonderfully strong. It's really worth doing.
Now, what about training your daughters?
What about training your daughter? It depends who your daughter is. Usually, this is not what she needs, generally speaking. As my wife's rabbits like to say, she said, when you finish the whole Nach and the whole, like, there are different things you can learn that are very, very beautiful and intriguing, and it's different Muslim cities, whatever. So then we can talk about maybe Gemara, maybe this, maybe that. But you have to first finish.
She just graduated high school.
That's usual.
And then she's going into midrash.
Great. So what's the problem?
What do I have to do? I mean, she's going to the good schools. She went through a good school.
Your prescriptions are hard prescriptions. You have to really be happy. Just a lot of encouragement and love. It's not always easy. We have ups and downs. And that's what you have to do. That's your job. And sometimes give over something that really spoke to you. Maybe like a story. Depending, you have to know her, and know what speaks to her. But it's very, very important for you to be happy, because usually In a healthy family, until a girl is married, she gets a lot of her vitality from her father. If you're walking around upset, she's going to feel it, and maybe they'll put somewhere else that's not so good. That's a general rule. I'm not going to say there aren't exceptions, but usually that's really, bottom line, that's what happens. So when you're giving her vitality, you have to give her vitality. Sometimes important type stories. I know someone who said, I want to tell the stories, it's not confrontational, and I can give a message. Could be. Right? You have to think about it. You have to know her, what she like, what talks to her. Sometimes a girl, she's sharp, she likes tusk. Sometimes she hates sharp. Oh, don't tell me anything sharp. I hate sharp. Depends on the person. That's really what it comes down to. But sometimes the Torah is not going to, it's not the plus or the minus. It's the what gives you life, what gives you, and where are you in terms of your connection to Hashem? Again, it's a hard prescription, it's very easy to tell, to say, it's hard to really do. To really, really not, nothing bother you. It's again, what else comes down? What does it come down to? Misbod of the Semuna, the same old, right? That's what it comes down to. You're in Misbod of the Semuna, and you are full of joy, you're in the house, you're alive, so then it's light. And then less time, less light, so it's less light. It's up to you, it's up to me, it's up to us. What do we do? Do with us. There are people who say it's also. There are sheets that it's also because maybe you'll have a hero. But it's not like Pashto, like again, the Kurals is pretty machmir, and he's like, nah, it's not us.
Who's machmir?
Rav Kurals. There are some people, Rav Kurals doesn't say what I said, or Mr. Kurals. There are some people who are machmir. The Chassidim, I'm sure, is machmir. The Chassidish Apostles were very, very careful about such things. Very careful. This is Zikud Judaism, Zikiyadus, you can just sit and take a chance like that. That's what they would say. That's not how I hold, though. That's not how I was taught. I know. Sorry, I'm from a literature place. That's where I come from. I was taught how I was taught. That's totally not my top at all. And for a lot of other reasons also. So I was taught, stop you trying to find a way out, trying to let the guy have, like the Rosh Hashanah says, have an easy time of it, not hard. That's what he said. So the better you are, the more you're able to find coolers that are real, not fake and not based on anything real. You have a system, the system works, it's not also picking coolers, and this is good enough. But that's where I was coming from. The system sometimes is the opposite. You're supposed to enjoy the coolers if you're there. Great. Depends on the person. But that's what I was taught. So I don't have any.
Yeah. Yuchet doesn't have the dental services there. Nobody could have a man won't no men dental hygienist. So when I go to a doctor, I mean a dentist, and have him see my teeth, and then but then he says, see, one of my teeth is cracked. Oh, let me fix it. And I say, no, I'm Yuchet's gonna do it for me. It's also awkward. It's awkward.
Okay.
They ain't done in one place. They know what the situation is. And they go find a man to clean your teeth, and then go back to you. It's crazy. Is that crazy? Answer. So just do it all in one place. You know, it's a woman dental hygienist.
Prepare a few good tashis, a few good interesting inspiring ideas, and think a little. Half hour to you. It's not that long. How long to take half hour? If your mind is engaged, your mind is good. That's what I would say. Let's see. Like I said, I'm sure they think of real. I'm almost sure they think of real prohibits. He's a Siddisha Posek, and he goes with a Siddisha Kav, and they're not happy. He's not happy with such things. He doesn't want them. I don't know. That's what Lord Gratz, he says. I don't know what his. That's what I was taught. Again, like he forgets. He's Dafka Machmir. After all, he comes out that that's part of the way it is. Like, that's what it means. There's no issue. Why is it different than it's not the. It's not exactly a relaxing thing, the way he's working your teeth.
I mean, you could do what I do. Avoid dentists like the angel of death.
How's your teeth though?
Oh, they're fine. Yeah, I go like once every, I don't know how many years.
Excellent.
No, I had no choice. One, I had a crack too, that's why I go. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done this. Yeah, I had a finger press before I do more work. That's
okay, I've been tight. Siyata Dishmaya. Shreichem, I hope you have a lot of luck. Siyata Dishmaya. I didn't bring the time to start.
What are we covering?
That's the question.
Is this a spirit of Shabbos? Or
let's do a little. We'll do a spirit of the Lord in a minute. Let's first do a little bit about Kiddush from the Ari and the Chassidus, and then we'll do we'll go back to Friday night from the Ben Shachar in the middle. At least a little bit.
No, I mean, what should I label this as?
This is. I don't know how you label the Chesed Avram.
Let's label it the Chassidus. I remember right. Okay.
Okay, so we'll do Bat Kiddush. So I sound a little complicated, but it's a little more understandable, best of show. So you should also have a mind in Kiddush. He said already you have a Yud K and Yud K. Two Yud Ks. Ki b'ka Hashem Tzur Olamim. Hashem created this world. The next world, the Gemara tells us, the Yud and a K. Yud K? So there's a Bechina that's Yud, and there's a Bechina that's K. So we're trying to access different aspects of this on Shabbos. Shabbos is the interface between this world and the next world. We want to connect to Yud K. We want to connect to Hashem on a very, very deep level. Is it so? You said a used a little bit curved. You have a little on top, and the way it's written in Sapphos is slightly curved. He said, like the palm of the hand holding the Kiddush cup. He said, and also, it's Yud Vav Dalet is 20, because again, you have this is the same thing as cup, which is the palm of one's hand. So now, what does that mean? When I make Kiddush again, I'm trying to get to a place where I'm bringing the next world into where I am. That's what Kiddush is. When I make the Friday night Kiddush, I want to really actualize myself. Right now, I'm potential. I want to become actual. I want to become real. How do I do that? How do I become genuine and real? So the way I do that is to remember that I'm a neshama tahora. I am a neshama tahora. That's why he says you have the 10 fingers that represents 10 different bechinas, 10 spheres, 10 yonim. My fingers are a person's hand, and you don't understand what they are. What we can do. What can we do? How we change the world just by every little action that we make. He said also you have 14 joints in each hand. With one for the hand is 15. It's also Yud K. That's how he says. And again, the same concept, which is that my hands bring the next world into this world. Yud K. I have the power to bring the next world into this world. To connect to the next world. That's what we're here for. Yeah. 14 different bechinas for this aspect. It's the same thing with the left hand as well. Oh, yeah. Okay. We said before, Kiddush affects the lowest parts of us, the Malchus. The furthest parts from Hashem, the part where we need to take on Hashem's yoke of heaven, we need to bring it into ourselves. So that's why. So that element is called manspa. It's like the final letters. The final letters is called the Bechinas manspa because mem is the second letter, and nun is the second letter, and tzadik and pei and chav. These five different Bechinas. These five different Bechinas. What are these five Bechinas? These five Bechinas. These five elements, these five aspects, are the five gurus. That's what they are. Five gurus, five different judgments, five gurus. We spoke about this before. There are five judgments. There are five judgments. The five judgments, we have the judgment in the Chesed, judgment in Gvura, judgment in Tiferes, judgment in Netzach, and judgment in Hod. These are the five judgments. Each element needs to have proper limits. I have to have the right limits of Chesed to know when it's enough. When it's enough. It's not a kindness to spoil someone, for example. That's not called kindness. It's not a kindness to give someone money to buy cigarettes. Usually.
Or worse.
Sometimes it can be a kindness. It depends. But the general rule is some guy comes up to the street, he wants a cigarette. Not necessarily should you give him money for the cigarette. Maybe you should. Maybe you should. So, like you said, if it might be worse, then for sure not. But a person has to work out and think and see why is this kindness or not? What's kindness? Is this kindness or isn't it kindness? If I enable someone to do something that's very bad, so then why am I doing that? What is that? How did I come to be in that position? What's the meaning of this? So that's chesed. And you have gvura. Gvura also, you have to have proper limit on gvura. Sometimes it's too much. You can't push yourself too much. You have to have the right amount. Not too little either, but not too much. So chesed and gvura. And then we have tiferes, emes. Emes also has a gvura. Emes also has to have a gvura. I cannot have so much emes that I'm so depressed because I know the truth. That's not real truth. Any truth that distances you from Hashem is not truth, it's falsehood. Because it takes me away from Hashem. It could be true, it doesn't matter. Hashem doesn't want me to focus on this now. He wants to focus on other things, be more positive. Oh. Yep. So that's all of this one gets from. So again, of course, you have the Netzach and Hod also. Netzach. I have to be victorious. I have to push through and be victorious. I have to have this the will to win. Also, I need a limit. How much is for Hashem and how much is for my own aggrandizement, for who knows what, and not for Hashem. Admitting also, I have to admit, but I have to admit it that it's going to be positive and good. You know when it's okay, now I let go and the Eibishter will take care of it. It's Hashem, it's not me. Or no, I have to find my way. Thanks to Hashem. So all of these inyanim, I get in Kiddush. Kiddush affects every aspect of the hardest parts of myself. That's what Kiddush does. Every single aspect. Is affected. Fine. That's why Elohim, right? Kos is Gematria Elohim. Because it's judgment. People come to a place where I affect Elohim. And Matzvah, each letter is also an aspect of every letter of Elohim. You have two, again, Yud Vav Dalet Hey Yud and Yud Vav Dalet Hey Yud. Two different aspects. And then you have, it comes out also with Yud K, comes out to be Elohim with the Kolo. So again, this Bechina of Yud-K. Yud-K on the right, Yud-K on the left, and a Yud-K in the middle. I really, really must connect to Chachma, to Bina, and to Das. I need to be in a place. Kiddush is supposed to give me a different Shabbos. Kiddush sanctifies the Shabbos, it starts the Shabbos, gives me a totally different Shabbos, a totally different week. It all depends on my Kiddush. Everything depends on my Kiddush. but to yearn very much to connect to the aura of the Kiddush. How do I connect to the aura of the Kiddush? Rav Nachman says there are 70 words to Kiddush, as we'll see. He says these 70 words of the Kiddush represent 70 aspects of Torah. Shema part of the Torah. He said every person has to learn how to be confident that he can find his place in the 70 aspects of Torah. I have to realize I'm a conduit to bring the next world into this world. That's what Hashem sent me here for. And I have my own specific, particular way of doing that no one else could do. And I have to find that way. To search for it, and I have to find it. And that's also through our Sukhamim, through understanding that what the Chachamim tell us is not for nothing at all. Everything they say is true and connects us to Hashem. Okay, that's today's a little bit of Kiddush. We can drop a Kiddush a few minutes. Now we're going to just go a little, that's a shame. We have a song, that's why I remember. Yeah, okay. Zel Shabbos. You have to use two breads for every meal. Like the man was. Double. The spirit of the law, we're continuing the parshas Vayera, the lechus of Leil Shabbos, the night of Shabbos. You have to break bread on two loaves every meal. Fine, we did this. Whoa. Okay. Yeah, we're in the middle of this. He said, and these four loaves, have in mind that they're the four that you came up K.
He said four loaves?
Four loaves, because again, according to the Ari, the benchmark goes to simple meaning of the Ari, 12 loaves. 12 loaves, you use every meal. Like I said earlier, the Gilgon says the 12 is 2 times 3 meals and 2 surrounding lights, which you don't see for 3 meals. That's what the Gaon says. Others say other mahalchim, but the Arizal learns the Zohar 12 means 12 every meal. And he has a whole setup how to do it. Top ones is Yud and Vav, and the bottom are the Hayes. When you say Hamotzi, you take the two top ones, put them together. They become like they're one, with two sides, just like Lechem Hapanim. So when you put them together, from Lechem Hapanim also had two full sides. They should be back to back, like Lechem Hapanim was. And you say Hamotzi. Then you cut the right one, which is the Yud Vav Dalet, Akizayis. Dip it three times into salt and eat it. Have in mind that I'm fulfilling the Suda of Shabbos. We're eating the Shabbos meal. And also that this Kizayis is the Yud Vav Dalet of Avaya.
So you dip each piece three times? Or can you
That's what he seems to say.
Dip all. Can you cut and then dip? And we have a whole loaf.
Oh, you know, can I dip three times? Can I cut more? The Bills of Rebbe used to cut out Shabbos seven pieces. A Yontif, he cut five. People wondered why until they found one of the poskim brings. You should cut seven Shabbos for the Aliyas of the Torah. And Yontif five. You want to do that? You can do that. I think it's Hesed Dola brings. You can do so.
So you cut seven times and then dip the whole thing? Or do you have to dip individual pieces?
Each piece, I guess. Each piece. Then, after you finish Kohen Lari, afterwards you cut another piece and right away give it to your wife. She's the first one to get it. That's the Osyud of the Shem Adni. So have in mind, Yud Av. Shema Az and Abaya together. Wow. And then cut for the rest of the people. And hold on to the other piece until you're able to cut for people. Don't let go of that. It's the Vav. Do this for all three meals. So if you don't have 12 breads, use 4 per meal. But that also works. That's a mitzvah sitting. But it's certainly a big, great mitzvah to try to get 12. That's the Arizal's way, as we find in Shahar HaKavanos. Okay. The main thing is yearning. I have to yearn. Suda Shabbos is yearning. Especially the third meal, that's called the highest, the right, Rabba de Rabba, and the highest yearning. But Nelson says the main thing is yearning. So you have 12 breads, you have 4 breads, you have 2 breads. However many breads you have on Shabbos meal, I really, really must work on yearning and longing for Hashem. I need to learn how to yearn and long for Hashem. So that's revealed through the eating. everything has to be connected to the longing. Everything has to be connected to the longing, also to Hashem's desire in the world. The more I realize the more I'm looking for Hashem's desire in the world, the more I feel filled with yearning to fulfill what He wants for me. I think, you know, Hashem has a purpose in the world. The more I figure that out, the more I'll feel with longing for Hashem. That's the first thing. When you use 12 breads, you can use 12 breads. When you use 4 breads, you can use 2 breads. Whatever you do is good. 2 breads, so you say, the Bechina, that's the Mashpia, the one that gives, is the top bread. The one that receives, the bottom bread. That's why Friday night, you said, it's the Bechina of receiving, the Malchus. So we cut that. That's the bottom bread first. And during the day, because it's the heart, like Levush explained, because it's the bestower, so it's the top bread first, fine, very good. Whatever you do is good, but the main thing is to try to wake up the arousal, the yearning, desire for Hashem. That's why the Lechem Apanim was always fresh. The minute a person we fill with yearning and longing for Hashem, it makes, keeps us fresh, makes us fresh, makes us new and renewed. So we need to keep in mind, the 12 breads allude to the Lechem Apanim that was in the Beis Hamikdash. We need to always be fresh. Shabbos refreshes us. One of the big, big purposes of Shabbos is to make us feel totally fresh and new and serene. Everything's new, everything's different. I've never had this in my life. Shabbos Chodesh makes you really feel it in the deepest way. That's what Shabbos is about. That's how Rav Nosson explains. So that's the main thing. That's something very important to keep in mind.
Is there supposed to be a connection between what you are yearning for and what Hashem expects of you or wants you to have?
There's definitely a connection. And it's up to me. That's what the Medrash says, that Hashem calls us His twin. Because as we react, He reacts. And that's what He wants it. The Ramchal brings in the Medrash. That's what Hashem wants. How we act, that's what Hashem brings in the life, brings in the aura. That's why we have to be careful not to overdo it. Sometimes we just want to take on so much. We see such beauty, such wonderful things. Shabbos is, I can't sleep on Shabbos, I forget anything material, I'm just gonna, I can't always, you know, usually that's too much, that's the wrong side. Pushing, no pushing, limits. That's again Kiddush, Elohim, limits. Working on how much do I need to do, how much do I need to do, what can I do that's going to be feasible, that's going to work for me really, and not be all run amok without any real Seder, without any real, you know, I'm just trying to educate myself to serve Hashem. It's not always so simple. I have to figure out what really, really works. Yeah, and that's the Lechem Apanim. That's why it's two, right? The bread we brought through is, sorry, that's why it's two breads. It's two. It also it represents what we do, brings what Hashem does in the world. And it's our choice. How much we do. We have to do exactly enough, but not too much. Not too much. Not too, it can become very grim, you know. But do what you can. Take it seriously, be happy, and do what you can. And that's easy to say and hard to do, like usual, but hopefully we'll get it one of these days. So when you're going to be talking about it, we'll get it. Unless if you talk about something you're going, you will have it. So you have to say, okay, I'll get it when the time comes. Yes, or shall.
Whenever we have a suya on Shabbos, always two rolls, right?
Definitely.
If we would have 4 or 5 meals, someone's very hungry. What's that?
That's already a question. Whether 4 or 5 meals is a question.
No, not just to add on to the 3 meals. The time is early.
Some say one thing, some say another thing. There, it's better to have 2 rolls.
Always, huh?
Yeah. Not only that. Some say that even superstitious, you don't have to have 2 rolls. 2 rolls. We don't hold that again. We hold that you need. But if you don't have, if you have only 1 for 1 meal, use it for the 3rd meal. It says there is an opinion that it works with 1. It makes a cheshbon, the fee, the calculation, the month that came was enough to need 1 more loaf for the 3rd meal according to this.
But you can always use matzah.
Yeah, sure. It's not that
and
hard.
Matzah has a very long shelf life.
Yes, that's right. It's not that hard. It's true. What's the big deal? But Lechem Mishnah, it's not like it's, you know, you think it's so difficult. It's really not hard, you know.
And also Yom Tov too?
Yom Tov, you also need Lechem Mishnah.
Yom Tov is only
Yeah, as long as 2 meals according to how we hold, that's right.
No, but if you only have 3 meals, no, unless you're hungry.
Presumably
you're not going to use to that definition. If you only have 3 meals on Yom Tov, you use too low. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. We read about what he says about the Shabbos meal, and we see how completely, utterly far we need to go to the light of Shabbos. Talking about the Chamtsiyam, it's like, wow. So let's continue about the bread, I guess, first. We'll get there, I guess. Yeah, but gazayas, how much? The gazayas is like 30 grams according to some, or the size of a Israeli matchbox, a little bit long, a little larger, the old one. Think of it as a little magnified by a bit more. That's the minimum of a gazayas, that's what you have to have. A kibbutz is twice that. They're a little more than the kibbutz. If you want a steak, you can't. So at least have a gazayas if you can. Fine. Person who's really ill and he can't eat or drink anything, he can make whatever he needs to eat. That's his food, that's his kiddush, that's his hold. Again, the suda of Shabbos, what this meal is, we have no idea. We learn, like I said, with the Chavos HaYomim, what does he say about this meal? It's just, you know, unbelievable. What is this meal? He brings that Rabbi Yisrael Najara is one of the students of the Ari. Yerushalayim Najara, he was sitting at his table, took his jacket off, it was very hot. And then we saw that the angels left. He was sitting there, left. Now, this doesn't mean that you must have a jacket on at the table, that's not the purpose. In his time, to sit without a jacket meant that a person was not taking things seriously. You know, you didn't sit anywhere important without a jacket. The Mishnah Berurah says we're obligated to have a jacket and a hat while benching, for example, because that's how one sits in front of the rulers of the land. And there are some who say, therefore, today you need to have, but it's not clear in Mishnah Berurah that that's true, because you can learn it and say, like what Soloveitchik said, he says it only means in the time and place when that's what's normal. But if you'd hang around with President Obama in your shirt sleeves, even though it's a nice shirt, let's say, why shouldn't you be able to do the Shabbos table? Well, that's the question. And there are different ways of looking at it. But there is still reason to wear a jacket if you want to wear it. It's not the same as my least time where, you know, I forgot who it was. You're sitting at the table and one of the students took his jacket off and like rolled his sleeves up and said, what are you doing? You're gonna grind wheat. You're eating a suda before Hashem. You can't just throw your jacket off. So again, you have to know where you're holding. You have to know every person is there in Mahala. But the main thing is, he says, the person is supposed to be feel like a Shabbos is in statues, trembling before the Shekhinah in this meal. It's weird.
Well, somebody was
curious
from anxiety,
so
he rolled his sleeves up and
he just
left
them. You saw like Najara, yeah, that's what he brought. That results that you saw. He was singing beautifully. All the angels left. Because his arms were revealed. He didn't have a hat on, he said. So he sent a Chaim Vital. say they really enjoyed his meal until he... But the main thing, again, we need to be Gilu Baraba here. Krishna has to be...
But is that what he did? He just found the same zero.
We need to learn how to be Gilu Baraba. We need to learn how to be trembling with joy. And again, we're not... We can talk about it and see and say, wow, we really have to yearn to be there, but it's hard to be there. It's not an easy place to really, really get to. It means to totally, totally forgetting about all the nuts. It's kind of bringing the Yetzer Tov and the next world into where I am right now. That's what Shabbos is. Connecting to the Yetzer Tov to such an extent, connecting to Hashem, the next world to such an extent, I don't care, I just want Hashem. That's my whole meal.
Your whole meal is journey for Hashem?
Being with Hashem, yeah.
Being with Hashem.
That's the goal.
So how when you have chicken soup, how are you with Hashem?
Me?
How is anyone with Hashem?
How is anyone with Hashem?
You're eating chicken soup. And how are you with Hashem?
There are many ways to answer this question. But the real answer is I have no idea. So, but I can tell you what it says. I have no idea. I don't know. I'm working on it. It's not so easy. Not so easy. That's the truth. Sometimes, maybe.
So you're saying there is a way then?
There's many ways.
To be with Hashem while you're eating chicken soup.
That's it. It's easy. All we need to do is transcend nature. It's not a problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's, you know, it's easy to talk about, but actually doing it is not so easy.
Okay, so I can think that you can say thank you, Hashem, for
sure.
The
definitely.
Chicken soup, or thank you, Hashem, for the chicken.
Yes.
I made the soup.
Absolutely.
Partners, you know?
Yes, definitely. Well, nothing is like very, very beautiful. You also worth saying here. Because on Shabbos we're supposed to connect the soul and the body. That's what Shabbos is about. That's what we're doing on Shabbos. How do we connect and keep the connection of the soul to the body? Eating. If you don't eat, your soul's not going to stay for long in your body. So you need to eat. So Shabbos is a very, very big mitzvah to eat. A big thing to eat. It's because on Shabbos, that's what we need to feed. We need to take our body and change it into an aspect just to serve and totally subliminalized to the soul. And you know, you're asking me to, so the answer is very clear that it has to do with a second by second I don't know what you say, I don't want to call it a struggle, but second by second. Challenge is maybe a better word. Like every second you're able to is wonderful.
Every second
I'm able to try to get to a place where my neshama is shining the way it should. That's unbelievable. That's how we. That's the etzah. That's the etzah. I just saw this actually. Maybe I see this. But the etzah is right. Rabbi Ruchem spoke about yesterday. Right. Every second, little things. But for sure, it has to do with every instant. Like when I said, the regarding to Pchaneni, the verse says, for moments you will determine me, but it also means Yivchan as a test. Every second is a different test. It's different. Every second we have to be totally renewed, totally fresh. And we try, like you said, and then when the children jump up and down and throw the soup on your lap, what then? So then you try not to get upset that they, you know. Yeah, you're agreeing. I don't know. To think about also the soul of the body.
What is the message Hashem is sending you through your
soul? It's not kosher. It's mamash not kosher. So he said, when the table is being set, be careful to put a mapa below and a mapa above. Place, it should be covered from below to above. There are many reasons of pshat. And he said, not be sold also. Wow.
Is there a way to, like...
Whoa. What?
Is there a way to counteract tiredness? Tiredness from getting ready for Shabbos. Shabbos is very hectic. You're ready now.
trying to sleep.
I have a friend, yeah, he's supposed to come to the job as for my son. He said, the guy, he's an airport, he's really smooth, he's pushing away. He said, he's dying every Friday night, and he ended up nose diving into my chicken soup. I don't make it out, I don't get so tired. And I said, sometimes it happens. He decided to get that surgery, have to help, have to be tired.
You can try to sleep Erev Shabbos, or sleep well Thursday night, I guess. But, again, if we really knew what it was, we wouldn't sleep. But we don't know. So the Ben Chai says, you read this and you say, wow. He says, when the woman of the house is setting up a table, so when she sets the table, he sets the challah undercover, or whatever it may be, maybe tablecloth, and the overcover. He says, and then she puts her two hands on the table, and she says the verse, Vayidaber Eli, Hashem spoke to me, Zeh HaShofar Asher Lifnei Hashem. This is the table for Hashem. He said, through this, these words, holiness descends onto the table. Mm-hmm. So the holiness descends onto the table. That's A.
Descends.
It becomes uplifted. So let's put in Kesher Malchus, this book. Makes sense. From the Zohar, it comes out the way that you should be saying, this is this. Just like you say by Kiselio, you say, this is the chair. Zeh Kiselio Machabris, you should say, this is the Shulchan before Hashem. No chassid is necessary. This whole, it's all chassid. It's Ben Ishchai. The woman. He's a woman. He says. By Davi Eli, Zeh Shulchan Hashem Hashem. Just like, yeah, when she's setting the table, whenever it may be. And he said, that's just like you set aside the key for Leo, you set aside the table for the orb shots. It's a mitzvah to eat fish three meals, even a little bit.
You drink coffee before the shower starts? You get the energy?
You can.
Set down the direction of the health.
You can. No, you can't. It's not. Again, it's like it's coffee can help, but it's cross purposes to what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get something that coffee can't give us. I drink a lot of coffee. Don't get me wrong. I like coffee, but that doesn't mean that I don't. I'm not aware that there's a story here about fish, right? So the story of the Baditshever and the fish, right? He wanted to go to Rav Baruch Mezhgush. I want to go to your house for Shabbos. I'll send his grandson. He said, oh no, come on, you're always so reactionary. You're Shabbos, I mean, you're screaming, you're jumping. I like Seder. I don't like to turn my table over, roll around. I love Hashem. I mean, beautiful, but like, that's not my style. You come to me, you got to be more contained. I don't think you can handle it. I don't think it's a good idea. He said, no, I'll be contained. I'm telling you, I'll do things and so on. The ditch was trembling, but nothing happens. Not jumping, not screaming, singing with decorum like everybody else. Okay. Now it comes time for the Kiddush. Beautiful Kiddush. The ditch was Kiddush. It's subdued. I mean, he's not fire, but he's holding it in. They wash. They eat the motzi. Everything's beseder. He's obviously on fire, trembling, but everything, nothing. No yelling. Didn't drop on the floor yet. Didn't throw anything down. Nothing. Going. Yeah, but literally, he was so on fire. He said every time he waved his lulav, they had another person standing with lulav because he broke his lulav.
Wow!
He gave another one, another every hold. I mean, he was he didn't hold panchay in the whole bar. He was really to the shower table till the fish without making trouble. It was a chiddush. So the waiter comes over to him and he says, "Which type of fish would you like?" Except in Yiddish, like in Hebrew, one doesn't say like; it says love. Is that Dagat away? Or Zecha fish has to leave. Which fish do you love? He didn't answer. Which fish do you love? Nothing, but he's like really trembling. So then he said, excuse me, which fish do you love? Fish, I love fish. The whole table, like, where he is, I love Hashem, I love fish. Just like, and they lost it. So Baruch said, oh, I told you couldn't do it. But his talis he never had washed, because there's a stain of a yid that loves Hashem. So when you're like that, You don't need coffee. You don't need, just, you know, you're, this is what we're talking about. How to get there, I have no idea. And the reason is that he was a five-year-old boy when he saw the Vidishava, I believe, I think, or he heard about it. I'm not sure. But he said, you can be, you can have a Yid who is so excited and in love with Hashem that every time he waves the lulav, he breaks the lulav. And you have another Yid so trembling from all of Hashem that he can hardly move and make the menorah. That was his derech. Everyone had different derech. We have to find our own derech. We have to wake up and we're fast asleep. Talking about sleep. First sleeping in 7 years, he's fast asleep. Very, very well slept, very well, well rested. That's the problem. You have to sort of wake up. You want to wake up. Wake me up, Hashem. Wake up. Shabbos. Wake, at least on Shabbos, wake up. Right? You're supposed to watch Shabbos. Wake up. That's the whole idea. We're supposed to wake up every week, too. We wake up, it's different. From a different place. We start to learn how to think about Hashem. Start to learn how to think about Torah. And our little concerns make much less of a difference. Things used to bother me. I just don't care. I want Hashem. I want to help this one, I want to help that one. This person is thinking about other people and thinking about bringing Hashem into the world. So then it's not a problem. And that, what do you mean? My little this, my little, I don't care. Again, this is very easy to talk about and not so easy to do. But really, that's the goal. The more we speak about it, when you're in for it, we will get there. That's the show. We're going to get there.
Have you ever seen anybody do that?
Do what? Overcome yeah. His little, his smallest
part.
I don't think.
Have you ever seen anybody do that? I have never seen that.
All right. You need to have a different circle.
I think. But I can do that.
You need to have a different circle.
From my drama class.
No. I'm not talking about drama.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean it. It's not real.
No,
not at all. Other the drama class, we're totally full of ourselves. That has no meaning. Not real meaning. Maybe to help Jews to actually, or people, you know, entertain them, could be.
Right, right.
But not. That's not the idea. But you need to widen your circle to include big old Hashem, and you'll see people like that. You'll meet people like that. Where you notice someone's crying, and he's not yelling, but he's crying. He's crying. That's what Rabbi Yehuda. But he's kiddish. You'll see. Makes a 5 minute kiddish. He has all this kavanah. He has this farm, and he's copious tears, screaming his kiddish. Megillah, the best Megillah reading I ever had. I read the Megillah, and he was crying. It took him 45-50 minutes. And he's not. Esther came to the Melech, and he sounded so scared. And that's what he's all the time. Very down to it's very good, but like. And somewhere else. And that's what we're trying to get to these places. I've seen people do that.
Actually, I saw it once myself. From an Israeli who was visiting Baltimore, who the rabbi said, we have a guest with us. He introduced this guy. He said he's going to lead Friday night services. And he stayed on one song for a half hour.
Wow.
Crying.
Wow.
Just sobbing through the whole thing. And everybody's looking at everybody else because none of us, this was all new to everybody. We've never seen
wow.
it. You know, we used to a certain type of party evening gathering.
Sure.
And this was totally different.
Absolutely. You go to Tzimai Zilberberg, he's jumping up and down. The Dr. Meshefter also, before he was ill, before his heart attack, when he went to blow the shofar in the shul of Shoshana over here in Meshon, he was so excited, so on fire, when he said the bracha, he jumped up and down. Shout the bracha, he was on fire. I mean, I talked to someone who wasn't a breastover. So I used to go to the breastover shul just to see his shofar, it was worth it. It's a nice davening. So the breastover, the davening was really nice. He said, but I wouldn't have gone for the davening. Breastover, I know other davenings I like at least as well. But his shofar and his screaming and jumping up and down, so I couldn't get that anywhere else. I can go to any rabbi I want, anywhere, I'm not going to see that where you feel like you're like floating. So he told me, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter. So I felt like I was floating. And the shofar, like, you know, this is the shofar. I wasn't. So they have to tzaddikim, him. That's where they're holding. So we need, like I said, we got to sort of broaden our. I mean, I've seen people do for sure. So then you see someone on that level, you say, well, maybe I could also touch it a little. And we work on it. And what's really holding us back is that our little dekhanis, the mochon dekhanis, right? The five dinim, like we saw about. The different bechinas, which instead of limiting my chesed properly and saying, I can't overdo it, I can't misuse, I can't be too nice to myself, I don't want to be too nice, I want to serve Hashem and push a little more. Instead of that, I limit my chesed in terms of my avos Hashem is like, it's dead. My avos Hashem is avos kol, is what? My years of sand is I'm afraid of getting a ticket to be pulled over by the police. But that's my old everything's the opposite. So that's where we are. So we can't these things stand in our way. So the neshama is like, dude, I can't get in if I wait my fire. At least on Shabbos we wanna reach such a place.
I think after 120 minutes this is embarrassing. Did you realize you were sleeping on the line?
No, but the truth is the other way. I think the exact opposite. I have an opposite view totally, which is that my goal right now is to do the next step. My goal is not to become a preceptor. My goal is to have 1 second or a minute, or maybe a kiddush or something, and then slowly expand it. I'm not trying to. I know that it's not. I'm not there right now. That's what more insurance is. You see Tzadikim doing avodos, and you say, "I'll do that." He said, "You can't do that. It's no meaning." You have to do that, you have to connect and get the light. When you're shining in it, it does. It's not a drama class, it's not a trying to. You have to get there. When you're there, then it happens, according to who you are. So you want to get there a little, at least on Shabbos. And then the next week, then a little bit more. And if you fall back, fine, back and forth. That's why it's like a struggle, but it's not a struggle. It's just trying to find myself. It's a journey. We're on a journey. So I think it's the exact opposite. In our dark world, someone who has 5 seconds of Shabbos is really doing well. It's a world of everything's about me. That's what the world is. Everything is me, 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 me. I'm on my computer, and I'm this, and I'm that, and me, me, me. We have to learn how to be no, not me, me, me. Have these 5 limits properly, used properly, focused properly, not the wrong way. 5 words, everything has to be right. At the right limits, vur is vura. I have to be used by capacity to be in awe for Hashem. Use the year to do what I'm supposed to do. Not waste my time. Not let my time disappear. If you go, what my mission is, and do it. Whatever. Maybe this, maybe that. Doing it, acting. Acting as if, like, the truth, which is, again, my hands are, I have the 10 spheres, I'm moving the whole world. Whatever he said, the person that needs to go like this, with his pants. Millions of worlds, but you have no idea. It's that every action, maybe only the pace. Whatever you do, you're moving tons of worlds. We just don't see the worlds. And say, hey, whatever, just a kid, smile, hi, mom, make a joke. That's not what it's about. And again, it doesn't mean that we're supposed to be some kind of somber, but we have to be in a place where Baruch Hashem is our life. It really is anyway, whether we know it or not. So we have to get to a place where, what do you mean? That's all there is. There's nothing. That's real. That's genuine. We don't need to believe this. We're working on it. But it's not actualized. We're trying. So again, you have 5 seconds, a few seconds, maybe on the way back from school, maybe doing that, doing Shmonesre, maybe. What's at the Kiddushah? You know what these things are. You say, we'll learn about Shmonesre davening at some point. We'll learn about what are we doing with these davening. What does this Nusach mean? At the Kiddushah? What am I trying to do? What am I trying to say? Let's see that, Hashem. This is next week. Oh, we did it already. Right, Chador, you didn't talk about the Shemoneh Esrei. Well, for the kids again. Maybe we'll see. Actually, yeah, when you learn a little bit of davening or a little bit about kiddush or whatever you do, so then that little bit is that's what my Shabbos is for. The Chofetz Chaim says that shows you a little bit where your Mahabar is. You get a little taste of what you're going to have. That's the highest apex of your Shabbos. So we're working on it. In this dark world, every little bit counts. The opposite of, punish my ears, I'm sleeping, what's going to be? No, I actually woke up a little? Wow, thank you so much. So many people never wake up. Even for a second. I can wake up and say, wow, thank you, sure. I woke up. Didn't sleep through it. It's unbelievable. So it's only 5 minutes? Okay. So it's only this little bit? Okay. And the more we want, the more we're yearning, the more we're going to get exactly what we're asking. And this is Bechinah sometimes where whatever the reason is, I'm in darkness here. Get to the next world, it's all open. Because that's what you wanted, that's what you yearn for, that's what you're interested in. So that's what you get. That's the story with Yushami. I always say Yushami, beautiful Yushami. Oh, Yushami says that it's a person who went to the next world. And he saw someone who was spiritually by far his inferior. Not so educated, he davened, whatever he did, nothing. You went to your Shabbos table, it was no good chicks. Whatever, he said kiddush, more or less, he did more or less. And he was way ahead of him, he was with the others, Heichal others. this guy who's a scholar and really learned and really dominant and really, well, what a Hashem, serve Hashem. And he said, why do I have a back seat compared to him? It's not fair. He wasn't on my level. And he was no mister. He wasn't thinking that Hashem will play. He wasn't awake any more than me. What made him different than me? So the answer he received was that you're right. He had nothing. He was way behind you. But he really went all day thinking, I really want to be connected to Hashem. I just can't. I can't wake up on Shabbos. I don't know how. I can't. I have to work my whatever I do. I have to work my job. But all day, whenever you get a moment, he said, I wish I could serve Hashem. I just don't know how. But I wish. I would. So he got what he wanted. But his whole life, your Shabbos was not, you didn't seem crying, Kiddush. But if that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. That's what Nassim says. They should usually get here. Not wait. So, but they could be there, our blocks. So, I'm coming next week. Waiting doesn't mean I'm waiting and like, I'm not saying, I took my number and I left. What do you mean I took my number and I'm waiting? Might take a little time. Okay, I'm waiting. I'm not giving up the Shemofet. That's why, in a way, we're different behemoths. When I wait, that's what Ben said. He said, you don't have a kli. I don't have a vessel yet to develop. I can't get this light because I don't have a vessel. So you wait and you get it. You have to be waiting for it. But you're going to get the vessel. That's why it's not exactly true. We spoke about this before a little bit. There are some people, right? The Bechina, which is the Bechina of like, everything is action. You walk the walk or you don't walk the walk. And that's true too. But there's a Bechina where a person is able to act as much harder. When he gets humility because he's not able to do what he wants, and he's yearning, he gets much more than the guy who did it. Much more. Doesn't get less. He gets more. So it's not true. It's not so to say, well, then you do it. You don't do it. It doesn't always work that way. That's the story of the Rebbe also. Chutanim, right? One person's yearning. I want to go to Israel. Another person just go. Big deal. And the guy who's yearning, he made it. The other guy didn't make it. It was a big deal. He's yearning. You're yearning, you're going to get it. This story also with Abi Nezi told a story. He said that one time I saw someone working, I learned the Ran, this hard Ran in the Gemara Megillah. So he's crying, I don't understand the Ran, it's so hard. So Abi Nezi was a child prodigy. He knew every Ran. He said, I'll explain it to you. He said, I don't want you just to explain it to me. I want Hashem to give it to me. Okay? I can explain it if you want. Do it. And he's crying for 3 days in this Ran. He said, and then he told me what came to him. It was much deeper and greater than anything I had imagined. He didn't get that. And the Anayasar had the Kalim. He was the type of person who was able to get it clean. That was him. Put it together. But there's much more depth which you can't get without the yearning, without the drive. So it's like it's a balance. So we have to do as much as we can, but if we're yearning, we're going to get more. We're not going to get less.
The other person got more, and then the other person got more because the yearning for it. So you got deeper. Even more deeper in the same dominant division, that's what happened?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't always come out in the lesson. But you're right about it, you can't just sit around and say, well, even what I can do, I'm not going to do, like, who cares? And that's an easy thing to slip on. We have to do our best. But on the other hand, if I'm doing what I can, I'm yearning, I'm going to get a lot more than the guy who does it and I'm done. And it's easy for me to do it. I'm a person who's a doer. I can do it. That's me. Well, the person who's yearning is going to get more. Because he's yearning. If he does what he can, and he keeps yearning, he keeps starting again, he's going to get more. He doesn't get less. He gets more. It just takes time. Be patient. And build the another. Yes, another. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm wasting my time. Sometimes I'm not so good. But I want, though. I still want. I don't get it. It'll come.
Even wanted to work out, then you could have been conversant about this issue together. They could have put their heads together.
It's hard to know. Everyone is different. Everyone is different. This is Imam Sheikh also. The Imam Sheikh, he didn't anything he learned, he forgot. So some sofer, you know, said chavrusa with him, the hand and the hair, and he was learning for years, didn't remember anything. Like 4 or 5 years of bracha learning. So finally, he went into the shul, he opened the kodesh, he started to cry. Go shul and help me learn. I can't understand anything. And then everything changed for him. And he got much more, all of his friends, he knew better than all the rest of them. So you'd say, on a simple level, what in the world is he learning for? For what? So let's see, the same thing. He did also use his time. But he wasn't getting it, like, he was learning on a simple level. He was, you know, doing his best. And, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva of Elazhin took him for son-in-law. And everyone thought he was crazy. He wasn't a big thing for Kiddushin. He wasn't some great sheikhs. So why are you taking him for your son-in-law? You take anyone in yeshiva. He said, I'll show you why. After Yom Kippur, I'll show you why. After Yom Kippur, Yitzhak went quickly. It took him 15 minutes. He went, took the other person with him. He showed his son was already learning to eat a little something next to his Gemara. He's learning. He's involved in that's why. He's the most diligent student here, and he's the one who's going to make it pious. It took him many years. Many years. He learned. He didn't say anything. He just learned. I think people were very denigrated him. Oh, what's he doing with it? What does he do? What do you show for your learning? Nothing. But really, he was writing. On a simple level, but beautiful things. Probably figured it out. Took the time. He also, how did he get to yeshiva? He heard it. He overheard his parents crying. And literally, the biggest thing was to learn. His parents were crying. He said, here he is 16. He's not serious about learning. Okay, we'll make the prince into a watchmaker. I'll have a trade at least. So he said, no, I'm going to learn. And went to Lajan, he went to learn. And again, he was very diligent. But he got, they found, he was only 20 years, and people were like, what's he? He just sits and learns, but he doesn't say anything, sound too brilliant. And then they saw he was like plugging away, learning the hard stuff to Sefta, difficult stuff, and writing clear, loose explanations of hard stuff, putting together things. He wasn't the brilliant lightning type. It just wasn't him. Make explosions. He put together very clear, very deep shots. Like, what is it saying? Which is not so easy to do. And I said, wow, he's really holy. The person's not simple. Eventually, he became one of the greatest authorities. He wrote endless books. He once he made a big party. He said, I could have been a watchmaker. That's how we know the story. I was supposed to not watchmaker. So I just said, if I had what I've done, I would not teach my lesson. Here's all these books. Why did he write them? But again, it's all this, the yearning and the waiting and the yearning goes very, very far. It goes very strong. It's very powerful. It doesn't it's really at end of it. We just have to keep doing it in the forefront of our mind. Not in a place where we want, but we're not yearning. We have to yearn. Okay. So he says, why do we eat fish? The Ben Ishchai gives an explanation. Fish came from water in the beginning, but animals came from the dirt, like the Midrash says. He said, is it stated to the four yisodos? You have water, fire, air, and dirt. This does not mean physical, I don't know what you call them, elements, I guess? It doesn't mean physical elements, necessarily. It doesn't have to mean that at all. It means spiritual elements. That's what Dari says, really, also, the Ruchani Tal, the different bechinas, the different aspects. Fire is an aspect of what causes anger, jealousy, arrogance. Water causes expansiveness, hybris, like things grow. Air is an aspect of speech, different speech. Not great speech, or yes, speech, good speech. And the dirt is an aspect of depression and laziness, or the opposite. Using it right, and Huna. So then he says, therefore, water is before fire. So water is higher, therefore, fish is better than meat in a certain way. If we have to, we should be very careful of fish. Meat is for the owning of Shabbos. The fish is a very high thing to have.
The
Shabbos, what?
The
Shabbos, yeah, that's what it says. But on the contrary, because they're a higher thing in a certain way, they're better. He said, because Shabbos we get from a high place, it's better to have fish. So we eat fish. He brings from the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah tells us a story of Yaakov Ish Kfar Nivroi. He said in Torah, you have to shecht fish. Well, Haggai sent for him, and he said, you have to give this guy stripes. How dare you say you're for yourself age? You don't. So Haggai proved it. So it says in the verse, you shall slaughter the sheep and the cattle, and you will find, and you will find them, or you will gather, or if you will gather the fish of the sea, and you will find them. She says, gather is enough. She said, that means that fish have a tikkun that we have to make on cattle and sheep. So we make the tikkun, that's how the Medrash thinks. So Shabbos doesn't need a tikkun just like fish. Again, this is Bechina of the water. The water is a very high element. The water is a very high element, separated out from the physical world in a certain way. It's its own place. It's our own special, separate place. It means being separate. Again, living in the next world. That's the idea. In a separate place entirely. But Nelson says that water represents, because it was the first element, the world, Hashem made everything was water at first. So you get that, you can get back to that place before there was all this confusion. That's what Nelson says. So there's an element why water is better, more stiff maybe. So if you had an onus and you were unable to eat the meal for a night, eat three meals by day. Eat also bread for the extra meal. Sent a Yom Tov. If someone sent you something for Shabbos, eat it on Shabbos. You don't absolutely have to, according to some authorities.
Fine. Even
with
an Arab, you carried it?
What?
Somebody carries some food to your house on Shabbos as a gift, like a cake?
Even not
Arab, you
don't
have to eat it?
No.
Someone says, here, take this, use it for Shabbos. That's the question. Do I have to use it for Shabbos, or can I use it for the week? Some say you have to. It's not local.
Unless you're yearning for it. If you're really yearning for it.
This I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. Really, it's
yearning is a more spiritual.
What determines who we are? How do you know who you are, really? What determines who you are? It can't be your actions, because if someone takes a gun, you'll do almost anything. If he's crazy enough to shoot, I mean, we almost do almost anything. So, it's not my actions, so what is it? It's what I want. That's what Nelson says. What I want determines who I am. So, up to me. What do I want?
Is what who I am?
Shabbos, yeah. It's also actions when I can act, because then I don't really want, right? You really want, if you want, if I want something really, I'm going to do it usually, if I'm able to. Otherwise, it's like sort of shady. I don't want anything else. I want, like the Rebbe says. But what really determines who I am is what I want. That's what I'm going to go after. That's what I'm going to do. So if I want to, I love swimming, I'm going to try to go to pools, I'm going to try, that's what I'm going to do. If I love art, I'm going to go to art shows. If I love Torah, I'm going to learn Torah. If I love Hashem, I'm going to think about Hashem and be one Hashem. That's just determines who I really am. It's up to me. So we try, Shabbos, all these things are very, very high in many, but it's just a little about them. I'm trying to learn to drop something to understand my love. But really when it comes down to it, that's who I am. That's what I am. You find the Gemara. The Gemara tells us each meal of Shabbos does something else. One says from Gehenna, and the last one says from Gogol Magogol. It's a big. You can't skip one. If you miss one for whatever reason, you have to make it up. Because they're doing something. Each one has something to function. I can't miss that. I can't miss that one. All right. So you know, I will. I don't want Gogol Magogol. No, thank you. That's the. They're each a different thing entirely, and they go one with the other, so I need them. I need them all. So he says, it's good to learn Mishnayos.
Nobody eats fish between Wednesday and Shabbos, and some people are fit for them.
What?
Not to eat fish from Wednesday until Friday night, and the Shabbos comes in, but that's...
I plead ignorance.
Because they're not probably...
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it's brought halacha such a thing. Could be any. There's a lot of different things.
They have also a separation between fish and meat, right?
Yeah, that's a different thing, yeah, that's for sure.
I'm trying, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, Prakno Mishnayos, if you can, four chapters. Finish the rest during the day. So if you can't, at least learn one chapter and the rest during the day. He said you should say Divrei Torah on the table. On the parasha. That was what my father did. He said he learned four Prakno Mishnayos and said Divrei Torah on the table.
That's not what this thing, right?
Huh? Maybe. Singing is very, very important. Is it more important to sing than say Torah? Probably not. Because it says the first thing, if there's no Torah, it's like Zibchei Mesim. It's like, there's an aspect of death here. Not good. It says sacrifices for idolatry. It's something, it's like the opposite. You bring Torah something. It doesn't have to be on the parasha. It's preferable. I often don't speak on the parasha. If I have, it's been a while. We just started to have guests again from the Kotel. But if I have guests from the Kotel, I'm not going to know what a parsha is, I don't say on a parsha because they know what I'm talking about. To talk about a parsha, like what it is. And maybe it's worth telling them about the parsha. It's interesting to, we're just going to talk about what it means to be a Jew. Like, what does it mean to be a Jew? What's Jewishness mean? I like to ask people, what does it mean? Is there a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew? Is there a difference? What is the difference, if there's a difference? That was one. That's the one question I like to ask. I haven't yet found someone who had a good answer yet. But the other week I actually got someone, 2 weeks ago or something, I got someone who knew, they knew that every good thing is for is eternal. That was very, that was quite nice. That was the first time. That every good thing is forever. That was good. I appreciated that. He said there are people called Israelites, he brings a lot of cook, and this is something that he gave over in a way that they understood. They were very gratified. Very, I said, you're the first people to know. Nobody else I have yet known that obvious, clear fact. That they got right. Hashem, hopefully they get that one right also. So after the Shema, I have to think of other questions. That's the Shema. Talk on the Parsha. Then I also talk on the Parsha because they knew the Parsha about the Parsha. See, so after the Shema. So Mishnah is also Shishama. Mishnayos have a tremendous power to bring a person close to Hashem. That's also very important to realize. Mishnayos says, Don ben Yaakov, Asher ben Yaakov, stays by Gehenna and doesn't let anyone in who learned Mishnayos. Mishnayos is very, very powerful. The reason says that one of the reasons why they go Gulim is because he said, it's especially for men. He said, because men, when you learn, so if you really learn, so you can't get into Gehenna. And then even, sometimes we have things holding us back too. So you gotta come back. So, you know, there's a b'chin of Mishnayos. If you can, to learn Mishnayos to Shabbos is a very powerful, powerful way of connecting to the life of Shabbos. Because, like the Kotzker says, all the or of Shabbos, or Yom Tov, is in its Mishnayos. It's in the Masechta, or the Gemara, Mishnayos. That's why we try to learn through it if we can. And the Torah B'chlal, the Parsha B'chlal, also the Inyan, as it says, that's the Inyan of the. The parasha is also the ending of that week, of that time. So we try to say a little something about the parasha too. Shem Shalom with Bezoch, we did a little bit more. I hope on Sunday morning we'll be done with the spirit of the law here. And continue on Wednesday with Hashem. Shem Bezoch to Om Shabbos. Such a, we're learning so much about it. Maybe we want to like, get a few seconds, like 10 seconds, 20 seconds, a minute, maybe a meal. Maybe we'll get a few, you know, free gifts. Hopefully, we're hoping. We're waiting.
Come on, here, woman. I'm a guest this week and probably for a while because we moved.
Ah.
So all my new neighbors are inviting us.
Oh, there you go.
So maybe I'll learn something through the Kiddush.
Let's hope. That's a shame. See after Shmaya. That's a shame.
But I think I like that question. What is the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew?
Yeah, it's a great question for people who have nothing to do with Torah or mitzvahs or anything.
Huh? Is it a good question for people to do it for?
Also, I think it's also a good question about the Torah. But I especially like to ask kids when we don't have to.
Because everybody, everybody goes to shul, goes to day school, yeshiva, and all that stuff. So.
But I like to, I especially like it on people who don't know and who really feel like there's no difference. They're the people I like to meet the best. They're my favorite people. Because when you can explain to someone in the way that he understands that there is a difference, and that he has a fundamental error in a nice way. So that's the best way. Ask him, and it's like, I've gotten a lot of that told, like, of course not, no way. Definitely not. Then I tell them what else. And it's, things start to change.
So you give them that.
Huh?
You give them what you're looking for.
I give. It's the outreach mind. I try.
That's what they'll get.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It sure is. I know a few people didn't marry a non-Jew for that. At least one. Probably a lot more than one. One guy's like, that changed my life. My orientation changed. Why should I use that? It doesn't make any sense. And it's not because I'm against anyone or I have any prejudice against anyone. It's just knowing who you are. Anyway, Shem Shofa. He's all good. Lord Shabbos.
Hi. Well, have a good Shabbos.
You too.
I'm going home for a bit. I'm not getting up until 5 o'clock. Then I'll be ready.
Okay, listen, maybe. Who knows? Oh.